Welcome back to the podcast. So we're still Brad and Rach.
So far.
I'm Brad.
I'm Rach.
And I think I might have a name of the podcast.
Oh boy.
Brad and Rach, the kids are in bed.
Ooh.
You like it?
Like Brad and Rach, colon, the kids are in bed, meaning like...
Like the only time that we can go to the bathroom is after the kids go.
No, like not an apostrophe, a colon.
Yes, a colon.
Colon. Yes. Okay. Brad and Rage, colon.
The kids are in bed. You like it?
I like it.
Because, I mean, literally the only time that we're going to record a podcast is when the babies are either napping or they're down for the night.
Unless we get a ton of feedback that everybody prefers having screaming kids in the background.
Well, that's true. Go ahead and comment if you want screaming kids in the background.
Yeah, that might be an interesting twist.
But seriously, we would really like some feedback. So if you could just leave some review, leave some feedback for us, that would be great.
Yeah, that's really the only way we know how we're doing is, by the ratings that we're given and the feedback. So,
yeah,
drop us a line.
I also thought of something.
Oh boy.
So this is going to be a weekly release.
Okay.
And
this
so.
This is news to me.
Yeah. I'm just springing you on. I'm springing this on to you. So every week, I'm going to ask you what's your favorite song of the week.
Ooh.
Because, good. So this is the, not the only one thing, but one thing I don't really like about YouTube. Well, I mean, it's not YouTube's fault whatsoever. Our copyright laws. Now, if I was an artist, I would definitely have a different view of this. But I would really, I mean, I guess I can. We just have to really, really pay for it. But music, we can't really do the music that we desire.
No, and it's a huge part of our lives. Music is the basis of our relationship, I feel like. And a lot of our lives has to do with music. Trips that we take revolve around concerts we want to go to, and yeah, not being able to share music is a hard part of vlogging our lives because it's such a big part of our lives.
Exactly. I mean, we constantly have Alexa playing music in the background, and she's blue right now because she's listening.
For the record, she's playing music we like, and she started out with Twinkle Twinkle.
Okay, so what is your favorite song this week?
Well, this is the first time you've told me we're doing this, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just the way it should be done.
I guess, and, the thing is, sometimes my favorite song is my favorite song for weeks, even months.
And that's okay.
Can you guess what my favorite song is?
Eloise by Penny Aspera.
Ooh, actually, it's... Yeah, I mean, that's really high up there, for sure. But I think it's Brandi Carlile.
Dang it.
The joke. That was going to be yours.
It was because I sent you her performance on Ellen.
It was an incredible performance.
I mean, if you watched...
Any performance of that song by her. Yeah. I mean, there's several on YouTube.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you watch the Grammys live, or if you've seen her on Ellen, just come out in acoustic and just nail it.
Belt it out.
So gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got a great voice. We tend to gravitate towards more indie, like non-mainstream artists.
It's funny because when I was doing my whole 2-week reserve thing and I was around a bunch of guys who don't really listen to the music that we listen to, and I brought up Brandi Carlile and they had never heard of her, and they asked me, they're like, oh, what type of music does she sing? And I was like, oh yeah, she's I think I said alternative, which was silly.
Well, not really, because she does remind me of Alanis Morissette in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but when I think alternative, I think like Nirvana.
Yeah.
And like Seattle punk, not punk, but...
That's true.
Well, since you said Brandi Carlile, the joke, I'll go with Eloise from Penny and
Sparrow. Perfect. Regardless, you guys need to check out both of those.
Yes. Okay, so on to today's podcast topic. If you don't really know us as a couple, we ended up having to do IVF. Spoiler alert, we ended up having to do IVF.
In vitro fertilization.
And that was after 13 months of trying?
Yeah, thereabouts. And we'll get into that more. We tried to be a little bit loosey-goosey with our trying for the first couple of months, so it's hard to really nail down when we really started trying. But yeah, a little over a year of actively trying to have a baby before we had testing done that determined we wouldn't be able to have a baby on our own.
So when, Rachel knew really early that we had a problem.
And it's only because I researched things to death and looked up the statistics. This is probably a good place to start. So this podcast is, do you want to say what we're going to talk about? Should be pretty obvious.
Trying to conceive.
Correct. Yeah. So our journey of how our trying to conceive journey went. And it when we first started trying, I looked up some statistics on average, how long does it take a couple to conceive? And so I just re-Googled it because I kind of forgot, but I knew that most people get pregnant within the first 6 months of trying.
I feel like all of our friends got pregnant the first time they
tried. Like the first month, exactly. So what the statistics say are that 34% of people who are trying get pregnant in the first month. So that's one out of three.
34% in the first month?
Yep.
Lucky ducks.
23% in the first 1 to 3 months. So we're already at 50.
Right.
8% in 3 to 6 months. 10% in 6 to 12 months. So by the time you're at 6 months, in my head I was thinking it was like upwards of 90% of people that could get pregnant on their own were pregnant within 6 months.
Okay.
Each individual month, I think you have about a 25% chance. So as an eye doctor and as a person who goes by studies and statistics and likes numbers, I had it in my head that in 3 months, we would probably be pregnant. And then that's because this is people who are just randomly trying. I kind of had an idea already of like
your cycle,
the timing. I had a very regular cycle. I knew about what days women ovulate in general. So I felt like we had an even better shot than average.
And I guess we should caveat this. Our infertility issues stemmed from me. So the stuff that Rachel's going to say that she did to try to conceive may actually help some people.
Absolutely.
It didn't end up helping us because of my sperm count, but this really could.
This is all really good golden advice. If you're trying to have a baby and you want that to happen as quickly as possible, these are definitely things, most of them are things to implement in your journey.
Right. So what did you start with?
The first couple of months, we just kind of randomly did it, even though in the back of my mind, I was like...
We just randomly did it? That's so romantic.
Yeah, it is. Well, they say, I mean, like, try to keep it fun, try to keep the pressure off, don't start timing things and having, you know, certain days that you must do it, because it really takes the fun out of it, and that's what everyone says.
And the first couple of months that we tried, we were having fun still.
For sure. And then you can get a little more scientific. And the thing is, most women ovulate around like day 14 of your cycle. So if you break down a woman's cycle and say it's about 28 days, the first half is pre-ovulation. The second half is post-ovulation. So pre-ovulation, your body's gearing up to ovulate. You ovulate, you release an egg from one of your ovaries, and then you have about 3 days before that egg kind of disintegrates. I'm paraphrasing here, so if there's, you guys might want to fact check me on some of this, because I'm literally going off of memory from 3 years ago.
That sounds pretty good.
It sounds right, yeah. So you ovulate, you have a couple of days where you have an opportunity for a sperm to meet that egg and create an embryo.
Oh, hey, egg.
Hey.
Well, my name is Sperm.
Nice to meet you.
Let's do this.
And then... hopefully that embryo ultimately implants into your uterus in the right location and you grow a baby.
Ta-da!
But if not, so you have about 3 days that egg disintegrates, and then your post-ovulation and the lining of your uterus, regardless of whether there's an embryo in there, thickens and prepares to have a baby grow there. And then at the end of your cycle, menstruation, that lining kind of releases itself and it resets back to its baseline. So that's the woman's cycle in a nutshell.
That's a great overview, honey.
Oh, well, thank you. So if you want to get pretty scientific and pinpoint the day that your body ovulates, which could be around day 14, could be a little earlier, could be a little later. I think that's where people kind of struggle with conceiving, is they just make it gospel that it's day 14. When some people ovulate like day 10, other people ovulate like day 17. So some people are completely missing their window.
So I guess that's where the first place that you started was the ovulation test strips?
Exactly. Which you can buy on Amazon or at a grocery store, Walmart. Like, they have ovulation predictor kits.
I really hope that if they sell them at Walmart, they're not behind a locked glass door.
Like the pregnancy tests?
And condoms now.
Oh, and condoms?
Our local Walmart has the condoms locked up. So you legit have to go...
ask somebody?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yes, it is.
That's like promoting unsafe sex.
I wonder if the birth rate increases.
Oh, probably. What's the point?
Because
people steal them?
Some 17-year-old kid's going to be too embarrassed. Yeah, I guess people are stealing them.
Oh, geez. Anyway, so yeah, hopefully you're not having to find... If it's behind a locked glass door and you're embarrassed, just go to Amazon and you can buy a pack of like 50 ovulation tests for $10 or something.
And that's exactly like the pee on the...
Yep.
You were dipping it.
I dipped it.
You were like directly peeing on it.
It would be pretty hard. They're like they're not like a nice pregnancy test. They're like a tiny strip. And so you pee in a cup and then you dip it, and you want to start that maybe around day 10 of your cycle. You do it every day, and ideally, as you approach ovulation, the line darkens on the test. The instructions are all in there, but basically, it's not like a pregnancy test where any line in addition to the test line is a positive. It has to be as dark or darker.
And you're saying every day, but I remember you doing it literally
multiple times a day.
Literally every time you went pee, you checked.
For a while. I was just really curious about... I read that you could miss your surge. There's a hormone called luteinizing hormone, I think, that surges right before you ovulate. And there's a window in which, like a 12-hour window maybe, where you can catch that. So I was worried I was going to miss it. And I was just really trying to nail down my cycle. Mm-hmm. So I did. I was a little crazy about it for a while.
No.
I even kept them all and like put them in a book.
Yeah, that was a little awkward.
Yeah.
They're just like all, there's these test strips all over the bathroom.
Everywhere. So ideally, it'll get as dark or darker than the test line, and then you know you're going to ovulate within the next like 12 to 24 hours or something. So you want to, what do we want to call?
What do we want to call making whoopee?
Making whoopee?
That's what they used to call it.
I've literally never heard you call it that.
It's on that, what was that old game show? The Newlywed Game.
Oh, they would say making whoopee. Well, in the trying to conceive world, the TTC world, it's called baby dance.
Ah, okay. Well,
I don't really like that, but...
It? Should we just call it it?
Okay, so you want to do it in the next, like, that day and then maybe the day after.
I thought you were just asking me if I wanted to do it right there.
Oh.
You're like, you want to do it? But you were talking to them.
Yes.
Okay.
You want to do it. You want to do it. Whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
If you want a baby, you got to do it. Unless you just go IVF route. Anyway, so once you get that positive, you want to do it like that day and then like the next day and then the next day after that. And you're probably covered. Some people say you want to like skip a day in between to let the sperm build back up. I don't know. I think if you're going to get pregnant, you're going to get pregnant. So that's ovulation test kit. In a nutshell, it's probably the easiest way to pinpoint your ovulation.
Start there.
And if you're never getting a positive, it could mean that you aren't ovulating or something might be amiss with your cycle, but you probably have to give it a few months.
All right, what's next?
Do you remember what else I did that was kind of crazy?
I remember you having something on the nightstand. Yes, you would have a thermometer and you would take your temperature all the time.
Yes, yes, exactly. So, in a very specific time, right when you first wake up in the morning, you take your temperature. And this is called like your basal temperature or whatever. It's like your body at its total resting point, what your basal temperature is.
And what was yours?
It was like in the 90s, upper 96s, low 97s.
So awesome.
But yeah, I'm a very cool person. I'm so cool.
She used to like brag about how low her body temperature is.
If my temperature is like 98 point something, like I have a fever. Anyway, so yes, the idea behind this is pre-ovulation, your temperature is lower than post-ovulation. And that's because after you ovulate, you release a lot of progesterone, and that progesterone raises your body temperature. So you can pinpoint your ovulation based on, like, charting out your basal temperature. And that's by taking it first thing in the morning before you even sit up in bed.
Mm. You can't even sit up.
No. You literally should move as minimally as possible, take your temperature, record it.
This already seems just like a lot of work.
Some people even, like, set their alarm at 4 or 5 a.m. to make sure that they're not waking up naturally and stirring before they take it. I say some people, I mean me.
Some neurotic folks.
Some people are crazy. And then I had, like, my fertility friend app or whatever, and I would plug in my temperature and try to match that with my ovulation kit. Man, you remember all this?
I'm just getting flooded with memories. Oh,
such a nightmare.
The thing is, I have a horrible memories. I'm an anti-elephant. And
and which, I'm a full-on elephant.
Which is good when it comes to stuff like this, because I don't really want to remember
this. It was not a fun time.
Yeah, it was a tough year.
It was. And I was just micro-analyzing everything.
Yeah, that's... I mean, that's no offense, honey, but you were really taking the fun out of it.
I know. I know it. Well, it was only after...
Yeah, no.
It was only after, like, it was a 4 or 5 months.
I was going to say, it was a fun, months. Like, 6 months.
Yeah.
But, yeah, maybe more like 4.
Yep. And then it got not fun. But I'm sure it was still fun for you. It was just, like, I was nuts. Anyway, so those are kind of the two biggies on how people time intercourse to give their best chance at conceiving.
And now you changed it up.
Intercourse.
Okay. I wonder if... I wish we could have, like, a counter of, like, how many different slang words we use for sex. Got a new one in there.
Yeah. Okay. So some of the things that I did when I was getting real crazy are, like, diet and supplement type things.
Wait, that, you think that's crazy?
Yes. You'll hear.
Oh, okay. What you specifically did. Okay.
What I specifically did. Yes. So I read somewhere that, like, the whole pH of your body is affected by what you eat or drink the most of. And so, like, I would drink a ton of water, and I started to get really worried that the water I was drinking was too acidic.
Mm.
Because you need...
There's another flood of memories.
Oh, man. So then I was neurotic about our water pH.
But you actually, like, turned other people on to it as well.
I sure did.
Like, your dad now drinks...
higher pH water.
Yeah, like 8.
Like above your, 8 is yeah, good. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so there's some research that shows that alkaline things are good for your body and help with... I'm not even sure what all... I can't remember at this point, but...
Right.
So I started getting nuts about, like, the pH thing.
What was that one... There was one brand that was actually, like, really good. Do you remember the name of that?
Mm-mm.
I can't remember either.
No.
Let us know if you know.
Yeah. There's another thing that I read that said, like, grapefruit juice creates a very friendly environment for sperm in your lady parts. So, do you remember my grapefruit juice phase where, yes, I would drink, like, I hated grapefruit juice.
My mouth is like,
your saliva glands are squirting.
Exactly. Puckering up.
Salivary glands. So, actually, the Simply Grapefruit was pretty good, and I grew to appreciate it, but I hated it at first. So I started drinking that, like, you would just drink a cup of it every day before ovulation. And then, like, other supplements that are shown to be beneficial maybe are, like, primrose oil. So I was taking that. Maca root, I was making you take. I don't know if you remember that, and I'm sure you didn't take it very often.
Yeah, I remember that.
But those were some of the supplement diet things. And then, like, for a month or two maybe, I would eat... And it was not even the good part of the pineapple. It's like the core of the pineapple.
Yes.
The core of the pineapple, I guess, has this substance called, it starts with a B, it's like bromelain or bromelain. And it's supposed to thin your blood just enough that it helps with implantation. Yeah. Like, so silly, right? Like, why was I...
I mean, why? Maybe that'll help just, somebody out there.
I was just doing anything I could. I cannot imagine. And that's kind of why... Like, the pineapple is the symbol of IVF or, like, of infertility. The pineapple is, like, our symbol.
Yeah.
Because I think it's because of that, because you're you eat pineapple post-transfer to help with implantation or whatever.
Yeah. I think I remember hearing somewhere that if men eat a lot of pineapple, that their sperm is sweeter. Like,
really?
Yeah. I would need to Google that. Which I don't really, I'm not going to Google that on my computer.
No.
Then if I die tomorrow, that'll be on my search history.
How to make sperm sweeter. I hope our parents aren't listening to this.
Yeah, that's like a good short story title.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or
porn. Anyway, moving on. So, around like 6 months is when I started saying something's off.
Yeah, we need to go to the doctor, but we didn't.
But Brad was not, well, I did, you didn't.
Yeah.
I was convinced it was me. Yeah. I thought it was my issue.
Mm-hmm.
How was it like dealing with me at that time frame where I was just like so sad that 6 months had gone by and it was just failure after failure? And
yeah, I mean, it was frustrating. So, I mean, I would have been frustrated, I think, regardless, but yeah, you were really intense. But I mean, that's one of the reasons why I love you. So
I go all in.
Yeah, exactly.
With anything I do.
Yeah. Every project you give it.
I could never be accused of doing something halfway.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyway, the point where I decided that I needed to be.
Oh, we forgot something.
Oh, what?
So you would like casually hint at wanting me go to the gym even more than I did.
I did? Yeah. I don't remember this.
Yeah. Yeah, you would. Because I would go to the gym probably 3 times a week. And, like, you would, on the weekends, be like, hey, you want to go to the gym?
I wanted to go to the gym on the weekends.
Uh-huh. But I know that you had a hidden agenda.
I did? Yeah. I don't even remember that. Does research show that, like, the more ripped you are, the more...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, diet and exercise are important in fertility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I don't know. I think you might be misinterpreting my motive because I definitely don't remember wishing you had gone to the gym more. I've always been really happy with your physique.
Oh, thanks, honey.
You're welcome.
Moving on. Six months, you went to the doctor.
So 6 months, I went to my OB and I was like, hey, we've been trying for 6 months. No luck. No positive tests. And I was like, I just think that something's wrong. And he's like, well, generally we make you wait a year before we do anything. But you know, we'll go ahead and test your progesterone because I was convinced.
But you have good health insurance, so we'll go ahead and run a couple.
Yeah, we'll run some stuff. It's a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Bill. Anyway, so I was really adamant about getting my progesterone tested after, like, they test it 10 days after you ovulate or after they think you ovulate. And if it's not high enough, then they're worried about maybe your progesterone not being high enough to support a pregnancy or that you didn't ovulate at all. And so mine was like 10. The minimum, or mine was like 10.1. The minimum was like 10.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh my God, it's me.
My progesterone's so low.
Like, you wanted up around like 30, I think, at that point. So I was convinced my progesterone was low, but like nobody would do anything about it because it was still in the normal range. So I was really disappointed with that. And then, like, I remembered my OB saying, like, we could try something like Clomid if you wanted to, but I declined at that time.
At that time, yeah.
And then not long after that, we thought you were deploying.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
So we got that call probably around 7 or 8 months after we had been trying, and we thought you were leaving in like 2 months.
I'm still an eye doctor for the Navy, but I'm a reservist now. But I used to be an active duty eye doctor, and I thought I was going to go on a humanitarian 6-month deployment. Luckily, at the last minute, funding got cut and my orders got canceled, so I didn't have to go. Although it would have been awesome, it would have been horrible to be, you know, away from my wife for 6 months.
Yeah, but it would have been a cool deployment.
Yeah, for sure.
It would have been better than, like, Afghanistan or...
Yeah, no, it would have been, like, a South America tour.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, when we thought that was happening, I was like, oh my gosh, like, we need to get this done before he leaves or else we're going to be pushing back our timeline by a lot. And at this point, we had already been married. How long had we been married when we tried?
4 years, maybe?
No, because we've been married 5 just now. It was only like...
We've been married 5? I thought it was 6.
Almost 6. Whatever. So, like, maybe around 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Let's say 3 years.
We were ready, though, because I was 32, 33?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was...
We were ready.
You were, what, 28?
And we had, yep, we'd traveled. Like, we had done everything. We'd been a married couple. We waited. And yep. There was definitely a time that we were not ready. Definitely. And this was a time that we definitely were.
Correct.
So, anyway, the thought of pushing it back another 6 months to a year before we even, like, conceived and started our family was seriously freaking me out. So I was like, oh my gosh, I called my doctor. I'm like, my husband might be deploying or is deploying. At that point, we thought it was for sure. And so I said, let's go ahead and try the Clomid, which he put me on a version of. It's Letrozole, I think, or it's like Femara is the brand name, Femara. Not sure how to pronounce it. It's like Clomid, but with maybe less side effects.
Is anybody good at pronouncing medication names? We're doctors. We're not great at
it. Still not good at
it. Every doctor that I have, I've never been impressed by their pronunciation.
I don't know that the people that make the medications know how to pronounce them.
Seriously, who are the people that name this stuff?
Why make it so difficult? Anyway. Femara, Femara. Tomato, tomato.
Exactly.
We were on that for 3 months. By we, I mean I. And it's super fun. There's a theme. Like, Brad has been the guiding, just constant reassurance, hand on my shoulder through the process, and I'm the one, like, freaking out and taking medication and drinking grapefruit juice.
Yes, and eating pineapple core.
And eating the core of a pineapple. If you've never tried that, it's nasty. It's, like, gristly. It's like, some people accidentally get a bite of the core and are like, oh, my gosh, I was eating that.
Mm. By choice. Only. By choice.
Anyway. Started Femara. The only thing it did was, like, move my ovulation back later. Like, my normal ovulation day was, like, 15 or 16, and it moved it to, like, 19. So it made my cycle even longer, and it made us wait even longer in between cycles to try again. Mm-hmm. I don't think you knew that part.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
No. So if you do get put on Clomid or Femara or Femara, make sure you're doing that ovulation test thing because it can definitely move your ovulation.
Pro tip.
Yep. So that was really like the end of our trying to conceive somewhat on our own journey. And there are more things that are even more psycho that I did not get into here.
So probably, I mean, just like a quick search of like natural ways to try to boost your fertility, like eating foods that are rich in antioxidants. Cutting down on carbs, basically just like a healthier lifestyle, less refined carbs, more fiber in your diet, multivitamin. And like we said earlier, like being active and also, you know, giving yourself time to relax, like recover. Isn't that funny? Like, the tips that we used to get from people.
We could do an entire podcast on like things you shouldn't say to a couple trying to conceive.
Yeah, so we'll have to. We'll save that for later.
Yeah, it's...
So tune in next week for...
Yeah, what not to say.
Cut your caffeine, achieve a healthy weight.
Yeah, so like all of these I did also.
Right.
Didn't
we? We stopped drinking for a while, didn't we?
I think we cut back majorly.
Yeah. Not that we were like big luscious, but probably one of the most favorite things that we used to do was going to a craft brewery.
Yeah. And I think part of it was like, you know, we for fun would go to breweries and stuff. And I was partially worried about like when I'm pregnant, that's not going to be something we can just go do for fun. Or at least it wouldn't be fun for me. So like just kind of redirecting our lifestyle to things that were more family friendly, I guess, was part of the goal. But yeah, speaking to like just making yourself as healthy as possible, I'm sure there's a lot to be said about that. And I was eating like a paleo based diet because of the research that I had done and working out and doing yoga for the first time. I'd started yoga, which is kind of like a way to exercise and relax at the same time. So all of those things I think are helpful. There really weren't any other like weird things we did, like positions or like some people swear by certain positions and get into like gender preferences and trying to, I don't know, time it or do a position that is more likely to come
conducive
out.
Conducive for.
Yeah, a girl or a boy or whatever.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I wonder what the physics behind that are.
It's something about the speed of the sperm, or I'm not sure. I kind of remember reading about it, and it's like, I don't know. We didn't really get into that.
Well, I think this is a great place to end today's episode.
Yeah, so that's our trying to conceive in a nutshell.
So if you know any friends or family that are trying to conceive, have them, you know, give us a listen.
Yeah, hopefully some of it was helpful, and I don't create too many neurotic women out there that are, like, testing the pH of their water.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry about that part.
Although you might stumble onto some good ones.
You may. You may. Focus on, like, the ovulation timing of it, and that's really, I mean, if you're a fertile couple, you'll nail it if you just nail your ovulation date down.
Yeah. So best of luck, everyone, if you're trying to conceive out there.
We always are thinking about and praying for people who are trying for a baby, because it can be very hard and trying. And if it's stressful for you, don't stress about being stressed. You know, like, I don't know. Trying for a baby is fun, for sure. But if that's what you want more than anything in the world, it's really hard not to let that consume you. Mm. And don't worry if it does. There's not a whole lot you can do about that.
That's right. That's funny, we were just talking about stoicism today.
Yes.
I have a very stoicism personality.
Yeah, I think you can stop at just stoic.
And you're anti-stoicism. I'm
a stoicist. A stoic establishmentarianism.
Exactly.
Yeah. And another topic for another day.
Exactly. All right, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
I hope you enjoyed this and learned something, maybe.
And we will talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.